Hello there. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. You know, I didn't go to children's class very often on Sunday evenings when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure that that was one of my memory verses. And I have to tell you, it really scared me. Not necessarily because of who it was, but because what it was. It was a bunch of eyes. It was everywhere. It was kind of like picturing a fly with all the myriad of different things. It was frightening. And as I grew older, I was frightened of it for a different way. And that simply was that the Lord sees and knows everything that I do, so I better be good. And when do I want to do that? Well, I want to do it about right now. And see, that was the problem, because that was my sermon this morning. We could go down and eat now. And the more I studied it, and the more I studied it, and the more I studied it, I thought, you know, I'm really not going to say much different than that. And so this is really kind of a failure. However, while I was researching that, I came upon this little gem of somebody else's notes. Now, I don't know how it goes when other people write their sermons. But mine, I kind of have a central idea. I have some thoughts about it. I try to get some scripture that goes with it to try to support it. Then I take those random thoughts and try to put them in a certain order. Then I present it to you. I think this is more challenging, taking somebody else's notes, because I'm trying to take his thoughts and translate them into my thoughts and make sure that they're accurate, make sure that they're spiritually correct. It was actually quite a challenge. It was a good challenge. And once you get rolling, I know that the other speakers here can attest to this. Once you're touched by the Word, and once you get the Holy Spirit in you and you get to going, it just comes out of you. It's amazing. It's such a rush. And I got a little taste of that last night. Now, this morning, I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture. And there's nothing wrong, of course, with the Scripture. It's a wonderful thing. I know that when you're constantly reading Scripture and over again, it can get to be a little tedious as a person out there. I'll try to keep it interesting, put a little tone in my voice, keep it exciting. And the best part about it is I get a sticky with a song in your head for the rest of the day. It's going to be a good song. And even though Lowell said we were going to be in the blue book all day long, I kind of smiled. I said, no, we're not. Today's title is going to be, Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy. The songs that we sing in our worship are designed to instruct as well as praise the Lord. And in them we teach and admonish one another. Colossians 3:16 we find, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. A familiar song with that important message is, take time to be holy. It's number 55 in your red book. If you care to open that, I'll be referencing that song line by line with different parts of it that I will make different points on. I was going to talk to you a little bit about songwriting skills. And I don't have a lot of experience with it in the church. When I was young, I did write some songs with various bands, but most of them were typical silly kid songs. You know, I'd really love that girl, and she left me, and I wish I had a better car, and whatever. I, even though I was singing rock songs, I guess I wanted to be a country singer. But it's amazing what people do when they write these songs, because they make them pleasing to man in the fact that the songs are quite frequently beautiful, the way the chords progress and the harmonies. I really like, and I would have brought the book up here, but there's a certain point in there, I think it's on the second line, where the sopranos and the basses, I've got it memorized, are singing G's, and then the tenors and the altos have this little progression up and down. And I got to tell you, next time you sing that song, you're going to be paying attention to it. That is really beautiful. So it's very pleasing to us, to our ears, and most importantly, it's very pleasing to God in words. And I think that we live in an age where we're so completely blessed because we have three great songbooks with so many great songs, and it's so easy to get caught up in the song that sometimes you can forget what you're singing. And when you take the time to read the words in this song, I think you might have a new respect for it, because it was very well written. And it has a lot of great points, and I'm going to kind of break those down just a little bit this morning. So certainly, as children of God, we are to be holy. We're to be holy in our conduct. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 15 and 16, it says, "But like as he who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And holiness is to be pursued, for without it, one won't see the Lord." Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And if you note there in your margin, if I recall correctly, that's the verse that this song was inspired by. So I'm going to let the words to this song be the basis of our lesson this morning. And you're going to have to wait a little while to eat. The need to take time. The world rushes on. As expressed in the second verse here, the world does rush on. The one thing that I'm absolutely amazed by anymore is looking at the calendar. Today's May 15th. Now, I know as you're pretty young, particularly when you're going to school, time seems to kind of drag along. For me, it certainly did anyway, because I was looking forward to those 3 months where I could go out and ride my bike and have a lot of fun in the summer. But time does rush on. Our lives are full of fast-paced things. They're very hectic. I can remember when we lived in Illinois, Teresa used to put 20,000 miles a year on a minivan, and most of her drives were 5 miles one way. That was a lot of fast pace. It wasn't that she was doing a bad thing. It's just that she was very involved. Time. Now, I wanted to give you another example of how things can consume your time. And I was going to give you a full visual on it because I was going to show you this morning how I was lying in bed and asleep and thinking all these things. But if I close my eyes while I'm standing up, I'm afraid I might fall over. So the visual is going to be gone just a little bit. But it went kind of like this. Okay, I'm speaking this morning. We've got that microphone. Boy, you know, we've got that portable microphone too. Wouldn't that be fun? I could maybe do some special effects. I could walk in from the back and do all this and whatever. I have children's class this morning. That was it. I forgot children's class again. Why? Because my life is so stupidly hectic in the summertime. I put together, I don't know, I'm not trying to boast or make you feel sorry for myself, but you know, we work about a year in about 6 months. Summer is just not a good time. Ask Ashton. She's trying to get together and see her parents just a little bit, and I keep telling her it's not going to be today. Time goes by very quickly. It's easy to get distracted, and most importantly, our lives are but a vapor. James 4:13-14 says, "Come now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For ye are a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away." We don't really know what we're going to be doing tomorrow, do we? We don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow. And as I age, more and more I have a different understanding about age. A little point about this is I was talking to a golfer, I think it was last year, and my estimation is he's about 75 years old. And he struggles sometimes to get out to the golf course because his wife is very sick. She can't get around so well. He spends a lot of time taking care of her. And I said to him, "John, are you amazed that you're at this point in your life already?" I'm sorry, this is something I get very emotional about. Because is, and I don't have the full experience yet, at least not the full experience I hope I get, but my guess is that the people that we still consider to be old probably feel like they're still young because it was just yesterday. It goes by so quickly. That's a deep breath. Okay. Before you know it, the time slips by. And it takes time to be holy. That's the key presumption that this song is based upon. Holiness is the fruit you receive from the service to God. In Romans 6:22 it says, "But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, and have your fruit to holiness, and to the end, everlasting life." So in this service, our fruit is everlasting life. And holiness must be perfected. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore those promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You know, I never thought about this before, but who determines that we're holy? My assumption as I was writing this was that that is God. If we're not careful, that time to develop this holiness will pass by. It'll be gone. We have to take time to be holy. It needs to be a priority in our life. Well, how do we do this? This is the way to take time. The first part is to spend time with your Lord. The song encourages that. It says, abide in Him always. Stay with God always. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Well, how do we do that? Well, prayer. It's suggested there in your song. It says, speak oft with thy Lord, and forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. That's a really great line there. Because we should turn to God for everything. We should turn to God asking for favor. We should turn to God thanking Him for the great blessings that He has given us. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Another way to spend time with the Lord, of course, is reading the Word. Feed on His Word, as it is written in that song. So do we take time to be with the Lord? Do we take time through prayer? The Lord's ready to intercede there. Consider Hebrews 4:14-16. It says, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in the time of need. Who would be better qualified to be, I don't know if this is a word, but the interceder, the messenger, the person who takes your message to God than Jesus? He came and lived here like you and I did. And He lived here like you and I did, probably was tempted much worse than we were. It's not just the devil trying to get into our thoughts, right? The devil was right there tempting Jesus. And He did it without sin. He is the great messenger. Hebrews 7:25 says, Wherefore also He is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. He ever lives to make intercession for them. It's what He does. He came here and He died for our sins, and yet continues to live on in taking our prayers to God. We continue to sin. And I'll cover that a little bit more later. But Jesus is there to intercede for us. His great sacrifice, His great work continues to this time. Do we take time to read the Word, which testifies of our gracious Lord? 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that ye may grow thereby into salvation. Long for the spiritual milk. We should long to read this Word, to study it more, to understand it more. We can't overestimate the importance of finding time to be with the Lord through prayer and through studying His Word. Well, what else can we do here to be holy? Well, we spend time with others. Make friends of God's children. Fellowship with other Christians. The early Christians did that. Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. They stayed together. Kept them strong. It helps ensure their faithfulness and their steadfastness. Hebrews 3:12-14 says, take heed, brethren, lest haply there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called the day, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we are become partakers in Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm and to the end. This is one of the great things about coming together here as a family, isn't it? We encourage one another. We exhort one another. This, of course, then also includes the idea of frequent assembling. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom is of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day drawing nigh." Now this is this little thought that came to me this morning when I was going over this, that one of the best things for being here, I think, is that this is the place where it's easiest to not let the devil into your thoughts. Your sin isn't entering into your thoughts. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's difficult, I think, to happen here. And the thought came to me then, in Matthew chapter 9, 3 and 4. "And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" You know, when we talk about sometimes, or at least I talk about up here quite frequently, I think, sometimes it's hard to picture some people that we know sinning. I mean, it just seems unlikely. But see, the thing is that that's the action. The thought could be there, and how would I know what that thought is? And my point is that sin isn't just indeed, it is in thought. That's why continual prayer is so important, I believe, because the devil wants in your brain so badly. He really does. And it's easy to listen even for just one moment and think an evil thought. You might not act upon it, but the thought was there. And that indicates that it was a sin. We need to spend time with others, including service to our fellow man. "Help those who are weak," the song says. Now we have service toward all, but especially towards our brethren. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are the household of faith." And we need to share our abilities with one another. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, "According as each hath received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God. As any man ministereth, ministering as the strength which God supplieth. Then in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." It is an honor to take whatever ability I may have, great or small, and share it with you. I know that the Spirit moves me when I speak to you. And I know that because frequently I stumble over a point, I don't know what I'm going to say, and I'll, rather than blunder it, which I'm always worried about, which is one of the reasons why when you're coming up here, kind of shaking, you don't know what you're going to say, it makes you nervous. God intercedes some there. I don't know how. Sometimes I don't know why, but he does. However, we must not be so busy that we don't take the time to help others as we have the opportunity. And you know, a little side note here, in this politically correct feel-good society, where everybody has to feel good about themselves and you can't stand up for what is right, brothers, sisters, if you know that somebody in our congregation is doing wrong, you can take the time to talk to them. And you know what? They might even kind of act like they're angry when you point it out to them. But you know what else? When it comes right down to when they start thinking about it, they're going to see what was wrong, and they're going to appreciate that you took the time out of your life to help them on their journey. Now, as you take time to be with the Lord, be with His people, and in service to those, transformation begins. Some of the benefits of taking this time: you'll be blessed. How will you be blessed? With inner peace and happiness, or as our song says, "Be calm in thy soul." And how do we get this peace? Through frequent prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. I had a little thought about this morning. Does that indicate that the answer to the prayer is going to give you comfort? What I read is, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your thoughts. It's the prayer itself that brings you that peace. You'll be blessed with renewed strength. The song says, each thought and each motive beneath His control. You'll have strength through your relationship with Christ. Philippians 4:13, of course, says, I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me. You'll be blessed with increasing realization of God's love. The song says, led by His Spirit to fountains of love. The Spirit in our lives will give us this. Romans 5:5, and hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Isn't that sufficient motive to want to be holy? Another benefit to being more holy is you will be more Christ-like. Isn't that our ultimate goal, is to be more like Christ? And right there in the song, it says, like Him thou shalt be. One of the reasons that I believe you should continue to study the Bible is that it's kind of like watching a movie. And the reason I'm saying that is sometimes when you watch a movie, the second time through, you go, wow, I didn't even catch that at all. And it kind of changes the movie a little bit because you caught a line or you saw an action. And you know, it's the same thing in here. Because I never considered this verse the way that I'm considering it today as part of this speech. Luke 6:40 says, the disciple is not above his teacher, but every one, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. We'll be like Christ. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know when we're going to be perfected. I'm sure somebody has a better idea about that. My assumption is that if I led the life that I'm supposed to lead and I'm judged as worthy, I'll be made perfect when I get to see my Lord in heaven. I'll be like my teacher. Then there's a transformation that's noticed by others. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Here's an example. This came from spending time with Jesus, talking about Peter and John. In Acts 4:13, it says, now when they had beheld the boldness of Peter and John, and they had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. They knew that he had spent this time with this Jesus, and it made them bold to speak. It made them better than they were. 1 Timothy 4:15, be diligent in these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy progress may be made manifest unto all. What an honor it is when somebody knows just by your actions and your deeds where your heart is in this earth. Are you a Christian? They ask you. Well, yes, I am. Also, we'll be prepared for a greater service. Thou soon shall be fitted for service above. We'll serve God in heaven. Revelation 7:15 says, therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. Revelation 22:3 supports that, and there shall be no curse any more, that the throne of God and the Lamb shall be therein, and His servants shall serve Him, and will reign with Christ and God forever. Revelations 22:5, there shall be night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun. For the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we shall deny Him, He will also deny us. Isn't that motivation to take time to be holy? In conclusion this morning, we need to remember to take the time. The world rushes on, as we all know, and it would carry us right along with it if we let it. And our time on earth is so short. We have to have our priorities straight. Are you taking the time to be alone with God in prayer and in word, to spend time with others and fellowship with others in fellowship and service, we have to take this time if we want to experience the blessed life that Jesus offers, to be more Christ-like. I hope the song stays in your mind all afternoon. I hope the song "Take Time to Be Holy" reminds you that you need to slow down and do the things that are so important to your spiritual growth and happiness. Have you taken the time to respond to the gospel of Christ? Acts 2:38 says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Whatever your needs be, if you need to be baptized or have something else we can help you with this morning, you can come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.